Well, it's the last service of the International Prophetic Summit here at Omega Center International, Cleveland, Tennessee. And I've saved a message for the final service that I've called, I Saw Satan's Coming Assaults, the War Room of Darkness. Later on, as we get into this message, I'm going to share some very personal stories with you. Some you may have heard, some you may have not have heard. But I want to begin by talking about three specific points. The Bible tells us that Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. And the gates of hell there is a phrase that alludes to the strategies of Satan, Matthew 16:18, that would not prevail. Now, it didn't say they would not attack the church. They do, but they don't prevail. Secondly, we are told in the Bible not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. I looked up that word devices in the Greek, and it actually alludes to the mind or what is being contrived in the mind of the enemy. So we're not to be ignorant of what he is contriving before he tries to fulfill it or make it come to pass. And so what I believe we have done in this message, hopefully, is I believe that we've gotten into the mind of the enemy to help understand some things. And hopefully I can get through all of this today in the length of time that we have. The scripture I want to use, the main scripture, is found in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Here's what the scripture says. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. The King James will say resist him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire?" Spiritual warfare, I've heard the phrase since I've been preaching, but there's a real misconception, I think, of what spiritual warfare really is. For example, a lot of people consider spiritual warfare the fact of, they offended me in church and I'm upset. That is not spiritual warfare. That's an attitude problem. They didn't recognize me in my giving. I'm a prophet or a prophetess, and they don't let me stand on the platform and prophesy. No, and there's about 90% of them out there that ain't going to stand on my platform and prophesy because they miss it all the time. And I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm just saying, you know, when you have to call yourself that to try to proclaim yourself that, you're blowing your own trumpet. If you got the gift, you're not going to have to tell anybody what you are. It'll come out that you're accurate in who you are. Let me go ahead and just go there if you don't mind, okay? We also know that warfare is not just losing your temper. That is a discipline of the flesh that you need to learn how to control your temper. But what is real warfare? I'm going to give you some examples of real spirit warfare. Spiritual warfare is living in a country where you are absolutely under severe surveillance and persecution for being a Christian and can be arrested and put in prison and tortured. And there is a major country with over 1 billion people that does that continually to Christians and Christian pastors. So real spiritual warfare is being in a nation, for example, where there's a lot of false religion, idolatry, that includes demon activity, and you're living under an oppressive cloud the entire time because of that nation's demonic activity through idolatry. Real spiritual warfare is when people make up a half-truth or a complete lie to destroy you and your reputation, and there's not much that you can do about it. A real satanic activity is what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him. Thorn in the flesh, messenger. That word messenger in Greek refers to an angel. To buffet means to deal one blow after the other. It actually is two men boxing, and you hit one on the side of the face, and you turn his head, and he falls down. You've watched it in boxing matches, but he gets back up, and no sooner does he get back up, and he gets hit again and knocked down. So Paul lists 22 things in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he went through that were totally demonic, but were caused by people who were being motivated by a demonic spirit that would move into their ear and tell them, arrest him, harass him, stone him, whip him, get rid of him. That's that hindering spirit. It was working through people because principalities work through personalities. Demons work through people. Real spiritual warfare is, and some of you have been through this, where you have a loved one you've been married to all your life or a family member, and they come down with a virus and they suddenly pass absolutely unexpectedly. And it brings this great question into your heart and life. Why has this happened? So that's real spiritual warfare. Then if you notice the word spiritual warfare, you get the root word spirit in there. Body, soul, and spirit. So what warfare is designed for is this. There is a spirit world of angels and demons, of God and Satan, of the Holy Spirit and demonic powers. And we're caught in the middle between this world. We're caught between heaven and hell. We're caught between the good and the bad, the light and the darkness. So spiritual warfare is about Satan doing something that would affect your spirit, because your spirit can become restless where it doesn't sleep. Your spirit can become vexed. Your spirit can become grieved. Lot was grieved with the filthy conversation of the wicked in his day. That righteous man living among them, it vexed his soul, Peter said. That spiritual vexation. See, when we see decisions being made in America that we know could bring judgment or a contrary to the Bible, somebody tell me, how do you feel? You feel grieved in your spirit. So warfare is about affecting you internally, because whatever is going inside of you internally is going to affect your mentally, it's going to affect your emotions, and it's going to affect every area of your life until you become so obsessed with the warfare, you can't sleep, you can't rest, you can't enjoy eating, you lose your appetite. Has anybody ever been at that level somewhere in your life? Raise your hand if you've ever been at that level somewhere in your life. So this is the real spiritual warfare. I started encountering real spiritual warfare when I was 18 years of age. I started fasting. I remember it was the month of July. It was right after my 18th birthday, and I was out of high school, and I was already having revivals and being scheduled to preach. And I remember that during that time that something very bizarre happened. I won't go into the details, but I started having voices in the middle of the night, audible voices. I was awake, awakened by them, and I saw nothing. And this would go on one night, 3 nights later, again, 4 nights later, again. It didn't matter if I was on the road traveling or if I was at home. And then I would begin to feel a presence and hear the voice. And months later, I began to see beings. I never saw their face. They were clothed in robes, very dark robes. They looked, some of them were very short. One of them was very tall. And they had hoods on that covered their face. All I saw was darkness under the hood. And they began to appear. They appeared at least 2 to 3 different times, if I take these different examples. And that went on for 6 months until God revealed to me by the power of the Holy Spirit how to overcome them by getting in the Word. In fact, what the Lord gave me when I never will forget it, December 31st, and coming into January the 1st, I had a final manifestation of a demonic power, and my spirit screamed out, no, not my head, not my mind, my spirit. And the Lord spoke to me in this ear. He always, you guys know this, I always hear it on my right side. And he said, son, as long as you live, Satan's going to use what you feel, see, and hear against you. But it's the time you stand on the thing that will never change. Stand on my word. And that's when I started studying the Bible about 8 hours every day. If I was on the road, I'd stay up till 3 a.m. and study. And the more I got into the Word, the more I come to the realization that Jesus used the Word and quoted it with his mouth when the enemy came against him. And I knew that for me to deal with what I would have to deal with, which I never knew what would come all through the years, I was going to have to know what the Bible says, because the Bible says itself, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So in my experiences of 46 years, I have asked myself this question many times. What is it that triggers the kingdom of darkness to get involved in somebody's life? What is it that causes satanic powers to target a local church, a congregation, a mega church, a global ministry? And I think I have 4 answers to give you as to why Satan will target one church, but another church seems to be untouched. Why he attacks one person, but other people seem to be untouched. Here's reason number one. The enemy is very well aware, because he is a spirit, and angels are spirits, and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness are spirits. But he is aware of angelic activity that takes place. When Daniel, in the book of Daniel, was praying for a revelation from God and could not get it, he had to fast for 21 days And 21 days into the fast, God sends Gabriel to him and says this: Michael the archangel had to come and release me from a prince of Persia that had me tied up in the atmosphere over Babylon. First day you prayed, God heard it. The first day you prayed, God sent me. But a demonic spirit stopped me in the atmosphere. In other words, when that angel started moving, Satan saw angelic movement. When he saw angelic movement, he immediately had commissioned another spirit to face to face. Restrain is the word used in the Hebrew, which means to hinder or hold back the angel of God. So understand, you and I can't see the angels, but if there is angelic activity going on in a certain country, nation, whether it's Israel, the United States, a church or ministry, then Satan is aware then that God is up to something by the angelic movement which is taking place. Now, another reason that Satan comes against people is because he sees a threat assessment. He assesses, just like a military general sees the enemy, and he'll say, now they've got tanks here, they've got missiles there, but they have an opening there. Let's see if we can get between by going that way. Satan has agents who assess threat assessments. In other words, they look at something and say, that's a possible threat coming. In 1990, Charlie and I went to Romania. It was right after the fall of communism. And I had two words that came to me in two different locations from two different churches. Now remember, these people did not have the internet. They had no iPhones, no cell phones to get on the phone and talk to each other like we do now. They had telephone landlines, but nothing like we have today. I preached a message on principalities. And a woman in a dark outfit, she could not speak English. When I say dark outfit, we call it the Orthodox black dress and the little bun on the head, you know. Very, very strict. You can tell a very strict Christian woman by her dress. Nothing wrong with that. Very, very godly woman. Goes to my interpreter and says, I have a word for this man. She begins to tell me that my preaching in America was shaking up the strongholds of demons. And there was a big prince that had my name. And you're going to come under an attack by a prince. Guess what that did to me? I did not say, praise God, hallelujah, that's such a good word. I actually go hours down the road the next day and preach in another church, and a woman comes up to me and gives me the exact same prophecy. And I got in the car and said, can I not get a good word? No, seriously, it's like my dad, Pam will tell you, my dad was very, who knew my dad or knew of him? Dad was so prophetic, he scared you. Now, dad would see sin in a person's life by looking at him. That's why I couldn't sin as a teenager. That I'm really serious, because he would come in and do this number. Perry, I need to talk to you. I had a dream. Oh, God. I really would say in my spirit, I would have said, oh God, no. And he'd have this dream, and I saw, and he'd give me this really weird dream. And kind of in the back of my head, I knew what he was talking about. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what you're talking about, Dad. So one of the Holy Ghost didn't just strike me dead for lying to a prophet. You know what I'm saying? But it helped me, though, to stay in the right direction, to know that my dad could see things. And he would see people in a church and he would say, you see that man over there, this is his problem. You see that woman over there, this is her problem. And he would actually see things about members in the church that scared him so bad. That's why he never got over 100 people in most churches, because they were afraid to come to church. Because I hear people say all the time, oh, we want the gifts, we want the gifts. Yeah, you want the gifts until God starts pointing your stuff out. Oh, it got quiet right there. Because honestly, if you sit under a real prophetic anointing, it's scary. Me and Charlie and some other guys, we used to go hear Floyd Lahan back in the day. Now, how many know Floyd Lahan? Floyd Lahan called three men out at my wife's church and told them when they were going to die if they didn't repent, and all three died. Okay, this guy was the real deal, and he could take that Bible, oh God, poof, lay it on somebody. He wave it and the whole congregation fall out. He was scary. And we'd sit back and Lahan would come walking that, and I hope he's watching this, he'll get a kick out of this. He come walking the aisle, and we'd say, don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact, don't make. Charlie knows it's the truth. Don't make eye contact. Here he comes over. We act like we're praying. because now we're living right. Don't get me wrong. We're not afraid of him exposing something, but we knew, man, he was just so powerful in the anointing. He got a little bit scary. But let me just say this to you, that for example, we're doing something called the lens of a camera. I cannot name the country where we're doing this, but they put up big screens and we preach, and we've had literally, we by the ministers in charge, 80,000 people come to the Lord. Well, do you think, amen, let's give the Lord a praise for that. But let me ask you this. Do you really think that the prince spirit over that country is going to let Perry Stone, don't touch him, leave him alone, and let me keep doing that? See, when people come under attack, most of the body of Christ don't even know how to handle it. They don't understand the power and the impact a mega church, a church, ministries are making in the world. They, well, I tell you what, well, you know what I hear, and they get into that, and they're not saying, we need to go to prayer and stop the powers of darkness and bind them and ask God to send the angels of God. That's what we should be praying for. Because why? Because it's a threat assessment. Woo, preach on, I am. The other thing that Satan targets, and I have learned this through other ministers and watching what they've been through, is the revelation that people walk in is targeted, especially when it comes from men and women of God who get the revelation and they learn to hear from God. Now, why is it targeted? Here's what Paul said. Because of the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. See, the attack on Paul was not just because he was preaching Jesus. Everybody who was an apostle was preaching Jesus. What was the attack on? He tells you. He said, I got caught up into the third heaven and saw paradise. There's none of the other apostles that had that happen. He said, I saw the rapture, the catching away. I saw the gathering together, 1 Thessalonians 4. There's nobody else that got that revelation. Nobody else in the, read the Bible in the New Testament. Nobody got received the revelation. He got seven mysteries, scholars say, that are listed in the New Testament. That's why he's targeted, because of the abundance of the revelation. Here's why Satan hates revelation. What is revelation? We're not talking here about the book of Revelation. We're talking about revelation, which is the apocalypse, the unveiling of something you can't see. The unveiling of something that's hid from your eyes, and you have that, moment. Wow, I didn't know that. Oh my Lord, that's going to happen. That's in the Bible. Wow, that's revelation. But the reason Satan hates it, ready for this statement? Because revelation is what will change your situation. Some of you went to churches that taught against healing, and you just thought God doesn't heal anymore. Then you stepped into a church where you saw miracles. And what happened? Revelation came. Many of you maybe were raised in a denomination that theologically believed in cessationism, which is the gifts of the Spirit have ceased, and you sat under ministries where they got a word of knowledge and told everything about you and had no way of knowing. Guess what happened? You receive revelation. So those are the reasons why. That's at least three reasons. I think maybe I have listed four. Yes, let me say this. And targets are set, this is the fourth one, of why the enemy moves the way he does against churches and people. The fourth reason is because the enemy targets prophecies once they have been released. For example, if you're at a church and real men of God and women of God come in under the anointing, they say, thus saith the Lord, the day shall come that many sinners will be saved and the building shall be filled. You can mark this down. An attack will soon come. Why? Because the enemy is after the prophecy. This is why Jesus kept his mouth shut standing in front of Pilate. Do you remember what it says? They tried to harass him. He opened not his mouth. Remember Isaiah 53, as a lamb going before the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Do you want to know why Jesus restrained himself from saying things? I'm going to tell you why. Hey, who wants to know why? Raise your hand, I'll tell you. Because he had just previously, sometime before that, been in the Garden of Gethsemane. And an angel came and said, if you don't want to go through with this, the Father will send 12 legions of angels. And he said to Peter, when he whacked that man's ear off, he said to Peter, put your sword up. Do you not know that I can call 12 legions? Now, by the way, a Roman legion was 6,000. 12 legions is 72,000. One angel in the Bible could kill 185,000 men. 12 legions to take out 14 billion. If just one angel took out that many, 14 billion. So if you, here's what's happening. Jesus knows if I get under pressure, they're slapping me, they're spitting on me, they're mocking me, and I don't want to go through this. If I open my mouth, Father, send them. Everything's over. So when they slapped him, are you the king? How prophesy to us, mocking, spitting on him, doing what? And he goes to the cross and he hangs there without complaining, without asking God to take him down, because he knows all I have to do is open my mouth and I'll destroy everything. I have been through stuff where the Lord said to me, I went by myself years ago to one spot and had a 3-hour prayer meeting. And I heard the Lord say to me, shut up. Keep your mouth shut. I said, God, I have the right to say no. Keep your mouth shut. And he said to me, vengeance is mine, not yours. Do you know how hard it is to keep your mouth shut sometimes? Have you all ever had to keep your mouth shut on something? It's like, bite my tongue. My daughter, bite my tongue, you know? And it is the most difficult thing to do. When you see the whole picture that nobody else sees, and you could present a whole picture that would explain some things, and God says, keep your mouth shut. And then at the end of a 3-hour prayer meeting, he begins to reveal to me what would happen at the end. And he said, it's mine, not yours. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to know how to deal with what the enemy's up to and deal with the strategies, and where I'm about to go, we're going to explain it to you. Give the Lord a hand right now. We're going to explain it to you.
Never has a gathering of five of America's preeminent prophetic voices been more timely than at the 2022 International Prophetic Summit. The 12 new unedited messages are now available to the Manifest TV audience. Rabbi Jonathan Cahn presented an urgent harbinger update. Bill Cloud gave major warnings with his messages facing today's giants. The Tale of Two Ships, America's Warning, and the message, The Ordeal of Jealousy, The Trial of Bitter Waters. As always, Mark Biltz amazed the attendees with his insightful prophetic teachings. Are we to know the times and seasons? And better not press the snooze button. Rabbi Kurt Landry shared a powerful revelation on the Cyrus Key of Overcoming Today's Cancel Culture. Perry preached 5 new messages, including the coming apocalyptic food shortages, 7 years in heaven, 3 things that I fear, and how to escape the coming great tribulation. Also, thousands have requested that Perry explain the war of Gog and Magog, which he did in his detailed teaching, the 4 Ezekiel prophecies about to happen. He concluded the conference with a revelation on end-time spiritual warfare entitled, I Saw Satan's Coming Assaults, The War Room of Darkness. To receive the 12 audio CD album, request offer number 22PS-CD and include a gift of $55 or more. The 12 DVD album includes scriptures and PowerPoint presentations from the teachings and is available for a donation of $95 or more. Just ask for offer number 22PS-DVD. The messages are also available digitally on demand at perrystone.tv. We are in a battle for freedom to release prophetic truth, and these messages are 12 eye-opening revelations with new insight that the adversary would prefer you never hear. Order today by calling toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323 or at perrystone.org. If you prefer, you may send a check with the offer number to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. These teachings will inform you, reveal what is coming soon, and help equip you to prepare for the upcoming big events.
Well, folks, I just completed this YouTube teaching. Go to Perry Stone YouTube channel and you can watch it.
I also want to take a moment and share with you something that's very important. This is your last opportunity to get the CDs or DVDs of the messages that were recently preached at the Prophetic Summit. Now, I want you to hear me. When we do, for example, YouTube teaching, or when we present to you on television a clip from a conference, you do not get the majority of the main information that we share. Now, here's the reason why. Because of a lot of sensitivities around the world, there are things that we cannot say because our program goes around the world and it could put people in danger in other countries. We're not going to do that. Number two, sometimes in social media, there's certain keywords or subjects that you get on, and soon they just either bleep you or they ban your programming, and you can't share with the people what you want to share. Now, let me say something. When you get the Prophetic Summit, or if you ever get any of our conference teachings or main event, they are not edited. They are uncut. I will share information you are not going to hear ever on social media. Now, what am I doing? Am I limiting what I say? Am I afraid? No, but I'm wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, which is what Jesus told us to be. And so I want you to keep in mind that you're about to hear the summit messages that are going to blow your mind. And this is the last week I can talk about it on the program. So be sure and get your set today. I want to also mention to you some places I'm coming to. Very excited about our itinerary, by the way. All right, where are the folks from Houston, Texas, and Lamarck, Texas area listening to me? I haven't been there in years. Now listen, you've asked me to come, so you better be there. Abundant Life Christian Center, Friday night, all two services Saturday, and also the services on Sunday. Lamarck, Texas, my very close friend Walter Hallam, a great man of God. I'm going to be there October 28th, 29th, and 30th. Then, November the 6th, I'm going to be at the Upper Room Revival Center, Pastor Mark Gilbert in Corbin, Kentucky. Now, I don't get to come to Kentucky a whole lot, so you folks in that area, you drive in for that service. I want to see you there. And then Kings Springfield, that's the name of the church, Kings Springfield, Dr. Janelle Morocco, I'm going to be there on November 11th, 12th, and 13th, the whole conference that we're doing in Springfield, Missouri. Now, folks, I've never been to Springfield. I can't even believe I'm saying this. In 46 years, you've never seen me. Not because I didn't want to go, just didn't have the invitation. I preach a lot in the Southeast. So you get over to Springfield, Missouri, and I want to meet all of you. I want all of our veterans, all you veterans, I want you to show up on that day, okay? And I have a reason for it. I want you to show up on maybe Saturday, either in the morning or the night service, because I have a reason for that. And don't forget, we're coming to two big churches in Hawaii, two great churches that I love, Kings on Honolulu, also a King's Cathedral in Maui. That's the month of February. We have some, just go to peristone.org. You'll see where I'll be coming to in the future. Stay in touch with us, Peristone Ministries Facebook page. God bless you.